You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
We're taking you down under this weekend to the gorgeous Gold Coast. That's where Australia's first Masters champion, Adam Scott, will headline the Australian PGA Championship. We make our predictions for who will win the event in Queensland as 2019 comes to a close. We'll also talk Tiger's terrific President's Cup victory, and we'll tell you why Philip Price was on point in the conclusion of the Stay Sure Tour. Plus, we'll discuss the European Tour's commitment to making golf all-inclusive. We bring you an inspirational story from disability golfer Ian St. John as well. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show. Joining me today is former professional Jamie Spence.
Former?
It says
former. I do play still.
You've still got the badge?
I've still got it.
Yeah,
still got play the badge, a bit. Yeah. A bit like you.
So, well, badly.
Badly.
Badly, yes. But you're still playing a bit of seniors golf, aren't
played
you?
Three times this year, yeah.
Overplayed?
I could have done maybe one more.
Are you reducing your schedule next year?
Possibly. Possibly.
And from Golfing World, producer Jack Hayward. Jack, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. A bit jet-lagged, but all good.
I've got to say, your tan is much better than Jamie's and mine.
Yeah, it's. I've been hearing a lot about that the last few days.
He's half our age.
He is.
That helps.
He is.
But a less good golfer.
Well, we don't know that. I was just going to ask you that. How was your golf?
Pretty ropey, if I'm honest.
Really?
Better at talking about golf than playing golf.
What's your best round ever?
76, a 4 over par. So, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Similar to us.
Yeah.
On a good day. You know, if only I had a putter well.
That was about 10 years ago, though.
Was it? So, what's the lowest handicap you've achieved?
I've not been a particularly regular club golfer and having handicaps throughout my golfing
life. Lots of excuses, Robert, here. Lots of excuses before we actually get to the answer.
You know, what I'm smelling here is fantastic pro-am partner.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I'm smelling.
Ballpark 12.
Okay, 12, very 13, good.
So, you know, okay. Possible.
And how busy is Golfing World keeping you?
Yeah, very busy. Very busy end of year. I was in Orlando last week for a shoot, which is good. And then the rest of the jet lag comes from a holiday in South Africa, so I can't complain too much.
And I suspect 2020 is going to be equally as busy.
Yeah, I would have thought so. We're kind of moving over and going exclusive with Golf TV next year, doing lots of online content. And so it's going to be a bit of a new, brave new era for Golfing World. But looking forward to it.
It's all changing, Jamie, isn't it?
Isn't it just the changing landscape?
That's right. Indeed, who provides it, where it comes from.
All that.
What will happen to the Race to Dubai show? What do you think?
Hopefully it carries on for a number of years. It doesn't want to be visual. We don't want anybody looking at us, that's for sure.
No, I think that's the way forward. I believe that's coming.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, I believe it's with the advent of the video podcast. I think that's
coming. So we're going to have to shower?
Not necessarily.
No, I guess not.
You can see, but you can't smell, so it won't be too bad.
Fair enough.
Australian PGA Championship, week before Christmas. Jamie, it must be quite a nice thing to do. If you're looking at a long, torturous winter, go and get some sunshine.
Yeah, it's up on there on the Gold Coast near Brisbane. Yeah, Australia's I've played in Australia quite a few times. Did you ever go to Australia?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved it down there. Yeah. I love Melbourne. The courses down there, I think,
Melbourne,
are
by
the best
way,
in the world.
Melbourne, by the way, this week is going to be beyond 40 degrees.
Is it really?
It's 41 on Friday. It's going to be in Melbourne.
A massive heatwave.
Perth has been 41, 42, 43 this
is
week.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I wouldn't like that. Yeah,
they're looking like breaking the temperature record in Australia, aren't they? Which I think is 52 degrees or something. Which
the
is
average
just,
temperature for the whole country, they reckon, might go this week.
Say it's a nice week to go, but the guys who are coming over from Europe to play from the tour school, challenge tour, whatever it is, to go down and just play 1 week in that sort of heat, getting over the jet lag, it's a really difficult thing to do. Hence, you're always going to sort of look at the Australian players and New Zealand, the Kiwis, those sort of players, really, who have dominated this event in the past. Although, having looked down the honour
roster,
of who's won this, I see a young Andrew Coulthart has won this twice, which demeans the tournament massively, in my view.
He's demoted it to a sort of D event.
Yeah.
And because it's got Coulthart's name. And, of course, I think he won it the year he won the Australian PGA Order of Merit.
He won the Order of Merit as well?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, he did.
That's very disappointing.
Then the Australian PGA Tour was only two tournaments long.
And they realised we needed to do something.
And it was the biggest of the two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, all credit to Andrew. Have you been there, Royal Pines?
No, I haven't, no. Never played up on that part of the place. I've played Sydney, Perth and Melbourne, but never been up that way.
Jack looks well-travelled by the time.
I think he's been up there.
I should throw it at you.
Surfer's paradise.
Have you been to Australia?
Never been to Australia, full stop. Yeah, I do hear, obviously, incredible things about the Sandbelt courses over in Melbourne, and I think that's the real hub of Australian golf, but that isn't to say that this isn't a fantastic course too.
What sort of power do you have as a producer? Can you write your own checks, you know, first class here, there and everywhere? How does it work, Jack?
Not so much, but you do get a certain say in your schedule. You do get to kind of pick and choose shoots, like my shoot in Orlando last week. Started off at the Father-Son Invitational, which is pretty fun, getting to hang out with a bunch of major champions for a couple of days, and then went over to Streamsong, which is this incredible three-course resort, very un-Florida golf, basically. You know, you get so much resort golf over there that we see on the PGA Tour really regularly. But yeah, it's completely different. Actually, they compare it to the Melbourne Sandbelt courses. So yeah, it was the closest I've come to tasting that style of golf, and it was a pretty special place to go.
So Adam Scott, just played President's Cup.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be especially worn out from that.
No. Fair play to Adam Scott, though.
Agreed.
He plays in all the Aussie events.
Yeah.
Whether he plays in all of them, but he's played in many Australian Opens, he's won this once as well, Adam. So I'm sure he'd rather go on his holidays. But he supports his own tour, and he's a very proud Aussie, so it's good to see him playing. Cameron Smith as well. He's won this the last 2 years. He's an underrated player, I'd say.
Very underrated, and he again...
Under the radar.
...has come from the President's Cup. Well, he may not be at the end of this show...
May not be.
He may not be under the radar.
Well, I don't think whatever we say is not going to push him above the radar, I'd say.
you're right. He's a very good player. I remember him finishing second at Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
Or third. Because Dustin Johnson three-putted the last, didn't he?
I think Jack probably knows more about it.
I think Cameron Smith knocked it on the green on the par 5 18th at Chambers Bay to finish third.
My
recollection.
I know he had a top five at the Masters a couple of years ago.
See?
So yeah, he's had a great couple of years. You're right. He is still a little under the radar, I think. But he snuck up to 24th in the world rankings as his peak this year. He's down around
Isn't
the 50
he
mark
a
now.
Very but, good putter.
Yeah,
is
I think.
Right?
Yeah, I think he's very tidy.
Very tidy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He reminds me a bit of Stephen Allen. Remember Stephen Allen?
Yeah, he looks
the
like Stephen Allen.
The baby-faced assassin.
He looks a bit
young.
Like Stephen Allen. I think he's a better player than Steve. Stevie was a good player. Won the German Open over here.
And he spent many years on the PGA Tour, didn't he?
He did. He had a good career.
And you're right. He's just come from the President's Cup, where he's just beaten Justin Thomas in the singles as well, which we know is no mean feat after Justin Thomas's incredible Ryder Cup debut at the Golf National.
And I think he just went out to dinner with Patrick Reed tonight. They just went out for a little gooey tooey.
What? Let's make up.
Yeah, make up. Yeah.
They called it. I just read a headline. They called it a love tap that they had. Where they did a little shoulder bump. I think Patrick Reed made a beeline for him during the week off the back of the comments Cam Smith made in the press conferences last week.
There was a little nudge.
Little nudge, yeah. All led by Patrick Reed, I believe, not so much Cameron. But yeah, he was there to stand his ground, and rightly so.
Well, I mean, Cameron was quite vocal in what he said, but didn't it spice up the President's Cup?
Well, yeah, it needed a bit of that, didn't it? The internationals did very well in the team part of it, which it must be very difficult to put the pairings together when you're coming from all over the world like that. I guess you just got to talk to them and say, like you would in any other team format, who do you want to play with? And which games match each other? Because you want a bit of yin and yang, don't you, in team golf? There's no point putting two huge hitters together who aren't great on the greens. You want a bit of a mix. So it couldn't have been easy for Ernie, but he did a fantastic job. They had a two-point lead going into the...
They did, in the singles.
But America is so strong.
But their team actually looked like a Ryder Cup side.
It was very strong.
Brooks Koepka, who's injured, that's pretty much who they would have had.
Yeah, it was very strong. And they're just so good in the singles, for whatever reason.
President's Cup. They've got a terrible singles record in the President's Cup.
Well,
I'll tell you why.
They've only lost one.
I'll tell you why, because they were so far ahead by the time we got through the team element, they were on second gear.
Yeah, but your motivation's not quite there.
This time they came out because they had to. Mm. And playing for Tiger. Mm. That was an added incentive for them to, in their words, perform for the greatest of all time, to be discussed.
One of the greatest of all time.
Definitely.
Jack, would you agree, Jack?
I'm very much the Tiger generation, so he's easily the greatest I've seen in my life. Like, it's very difficult for me to compare him with Nicklaus. I've only got archive footage and stuff to base it on with that particular comparison. But
and 18 majors and 19 runners up in majors.
Yeah,
for Jack,
yeah.
And 11 thirds.
And 11 thirds. Yeah,
not a shabby record.
No,
it's a great conversation.
It is a great conversation.
If it's majors that you're judged by, then Tiger's still got three to go.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And let's see him win those last three with a piece of wood at the end of a stick.
The way
Jack did, yeah. Let's see if he can do that. Jack drove the green at the 18th at St Andrews, which...
With a wooden three-wood.
Yes.
And he took,
from the same
he took the sweater off.
Yes.
That's right. I know we're sort of digressing a little bit, but I think Jack had more people playing in his time that fancied it rather than Tiger. I think Tiger played with a load of guys that felt they were beaten when they were up against Tiger.
Well, they were. Only admitted he could never beat him.
But they didn't give themselves a chance.
Yeah, I think Tiger, when he burst on the scene in 97, maybe there was a lull at the top end of a professional golf, and he just dominated, whether it was because he was so good and he just dominated them, I don't know. But now...
But there weren't Trevinos, and there weren't Weisskopfs, and there weren't Raymond Floyds, and
Johnny Millers.
I was going to say, it's the volume of names that Jack
That's
saw
what
off
I mean.
And, you know, and had to fend off people like Tom Watson towards the end of his career and stuff as well. It's just, the list... Arnie, Gary Player, we haven't mentioned those.
Just keep
ridiculous.
Just keep going. I think
the world of golf right now, there's so many strong players.
It's very strong. And let's see if we get a dominant player. Let's see if one of those becomes
a dominant player. Brooks Koepka at the moment.
Yeah, he's number one. Yeah, at the minute. Definitely.
When you're talking in terms of majors.
Yeah, in the recent run, he's the best. Mm. No doubt about it. And I hope, a bit worrying, the knee injury. Mm-hmm. He couldn't compete at the President's Cup. Mm. He came back in Korea and then injured it there, and then it's a bit of a worry.
Yeah, he's played Abu Dhabi the last couple of years on the European Tour to kind of kickstart his year. So it'll be interesting to see if he does that. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know whether that's confirmed or not confirmed yet. But I know he likes to start his year there. So it'll be interesting. That might be telling whether he's back for that event or not.
In golf, Jamie, the bits of your body that you don't want injured, the knee's got to be right up there.
Number one. Is it? Which knee is it?
It's a very, good question.
The left knee is the one.
Yes.
Because you're turning and you're putting all the drive through that left knee. So
correct.
That's the one. That'll take months and months.
One thing I would say for him is he's demonstrated resilience coming back from an injury before. His incredible run came off the back of a very worrying wrist injury, which again is another part of the body you don't want to be damaging
as a
golfer.
Wrist, back and knee.
Yeah, and he damaged that and was, I think he was in a really, really dark place and then came back and just completely stormed it for the next 2 years. So watch that space.
And also the joint that's the gap between your ears. That's got to be in good shape as well.
Well, that is in good shape for him, isn't it? He copes. He's just incredibly cool on the golf course. He seems to have
I agree. There is no
rivalry. He's not fazed by
anybody. And he comes out
there is no rivalry. Well, and you look at him. Yeah. You wouldn't have an argument with him, would you?
No, I wouldn't want to argue with him.
No, you wouldn't. Definitely not. And his game's, just incredible what he does.
Sensation, mate.
But it's based around a lot of that driver is just destroys golf courses for him, doesn't it? Look what he did to Bethpage Black.
But there's another beast on the block that's coming his way.
There's a few.
But I'm thinking about the beast.
Who
is the beast?
I don't know.
Who's the beast? We know Rory's number two in the world, but who's the beast that's coming
right? John Rahm.
Correct and right.
I mean,
John doesn't drive the ball like those two do. John doesn't. He's not that driver that those two are.
Oh, I think he is.
He's not.
I think he is.
He's not. I don't think he is. I think he's got more game around the greens. He's brilliant, Rahm, around the greens. But I don't think he's as good a driver as those two.
Really?
No.
God, I think
not
he
what
is.
I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be the year for Rahm to prove it on the major stage, hasn't it, this year? This is where, this is his opening, his
he's
opportunity
still young.
To really,
he's still
yeah,
young.
Of course he is. But
Big John is young.
Yeah, but it's the chance,
he's
it's
coming,
the
though.
Option to step up.
The Rahmanator. Let's get back to the Australian PGA Championship then. Well, let's hope the weather conditions aren't like they have been in Western Australia and what they're going to be in Melbourne this week. I mean, getting into the 40s, that makes life very difficult.
Well, it's going to be hot. And the other thing of this course, it's generally gets pretty windy as well.
Mm.
And they have to cope with that. It's a pretty good track. What I remember watching it, I watched the last few years actually on TV. It's not an easy course. I do remember the 18th green. It's such a difficult green to hit. And if you need a good lead going down that 18th because it's a tough finishing hole. And you've just got to go with course form, I think, with the Aussies, unfortunately. Hard to say that, isn't it?
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah,
I actually can't say it.
I've said it.
I can't say it. See, what about the youngsters that are going to take a gamble and go all the way down here? They've just got their card. They're brand new, right out of the wrapper. What should they expect when they get to Australia?
Firm and fast, I think, particularly as you touch on there with the impending weather conditions that are going to hit this week and the extreme heat that the country's expecting, it's going to play even firmer and even faster than you'd normally expect an Australian course to play. They tend to be, like you say, fairly exposed and kind of open to the elements. I think they're kind of semi-styled. I don't know if you can say this so much about Royal Pines as you could about Royal Melbourne, for instance, but I think, they seem to be styled on kind of the links, the traditional links courses. That you would call these kind of links style every now and then with the kind of the sandy nature of them and stuff. So, it'd be interesting to see how they cope with it. There's a handful of new faces to the European Tour from European shores going over there. So, yeah.
How much, Jamie, of an advantage would it be just jet lag-wise from the Australians that are there already and the Europeans that haven't to fly across?
Well,
how
huge.
Did you cope with it?
Well, I didn't, really.
Right.
I got there, I played three events down there. I went for a six-week trip, first time I went down there, and first 2 weeks, mate, I couldn't play. My fingers felt like sausages. I played the South Australian Open first at Royal Adelaide, great course, by the way.
Yeah.
I was useless, to be honest with you, first week.
Right.
I just took me for... I think these guys seem to cope with it better these days. I think the trick is landing in the evening. So you can go straight to bed and get straight into the climb. I remember that particular week I went, I landed in the morning, and staying up all day, I couldn't do it. And then you are stuffed. So I found it very difficult to acclimatise, Robert.
Very good.
Then again, actually after that, played pretty well actually after that. I think the golf courses down there are fantastic. I
mean, yeah,
they're
really good ones.
They're the best courses. It's great weather to play golf in as well. But windy, you get quite a little bit. A lot of the Australian players are very good in the wind when they come over.
The bizarre thing that while it was in the 40s in Perth, in Melbourne for the President's Cup, they were playing in waterproofs and jumpers.
Well, they do say in Melbourne you get all four seasons in one day.
But this week it's going to be...
I don't think they've been in London recently.
No.
That is a season that they don't want to experience. But, that's what they say about Melbourne. It's a fantastic city.
And on Saturday, we will see the return of the Scenic Million Dollar Hole, which apparently is going to happen on the 16th green, and a bunch of fans, lucky fans, will have the chance of getting a hole-in-one on a par 3 to win $1 million. Not bad.
Not bad.
I mean, it might create a bit of buzz.
Absolutely. Wouldn't mind being a punter there.
Joe, what do you think of all the innovations in golf? You have the Beat the Pro on the weekends. What are your take on that? I think it's fantastic. It brings the crowds in, but it's unlike any other sport, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult. Like, I'm a bit of a purist, a bit of a traditionalist when it comes to my golf, but I think, particularly these events that wouldn't necessarily draw the attention, I think it's fantastic to have
Can you play off 12 and say you're a purist? Does that work? I don't know if that works.
In terms of my, my attitude towards the game, I guess. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, but it's... I think it's fantastic. I mean, what more could you want as a fan to get the chance to actually step onto the golf course during tournament action and like...
They do it in the KLM and I think it's
Well,
brilliant.
The natural breaks in golf allow you to bring somebody in, don't they? And the pros are very good at accommodating it.
Give us a flavour who's going down first, Jamie.
Well, you got Adam Scott and Cameron Smith. Obviously, they're the two big names. But Cameron Champ.
Yes.
Woo-hoo.
He's making a trip down there.
Yeah.
Have you seen him here, by the way?
I'm only on TV.
Right next to him. Have you seen him in it?
No, I haven't. No.
Jack?
I have. Yeah. And it's something to behold.
It's spooky. It's like a low going over knuckleball fade.
So he won when he first came out.
Flies 320 and runs 50.
He won when he first came out, right? Look.
Very early.
Yeah,
very
he won
early.
Won
but
the
then he sort of went through a bit of a.
Didn't do nothing. He did nothing. And then he won 12 months later again.
Yeah, so he's going places, isn't he?
He has to.
And it's good to see him playing out in Australia. Good to see at home.
Absolutely.
But you've got all the other Aussies. You've got Lucas Herbert, Jason Scrivener, Ryan Fox, the Kiwi, Brett Rumford, Wayne Ormsby, and there's a few Europeans going out as well. Alejandro Canizares, who played well a couple of weeks ago. Callum Hill, Scott.
The Scots have got a nice little bunch going out.
Yeah,
and Nikolai Hoegaard, Rasmus's brother.
Yeah, yes.
Rasmus says he's better than him. He's obviously good because he's got his card.
Yeah, so he can play.
Yeah.
And they're both 18 and twins. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous situation.
It's incredible, yeah.
It's going to be an amazing thing to follow. That story is going to be massively jumped on, particularly off the back of Rasmus's kind of almost, I don't know, untimely win, that win that came out of nowhere.
Actually, I think he missed his card, didn't he? Is in the last round, is Nikolai. Didn't get his
card. Who's going to be the dominant twin?
Well, at the moment, it's Rasmus.
At the minute, he's top dog.
Yeah, he is.
The one thing about this game of golf is, if you're good enough, you'll get there.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't matter, you might have setbacks or you might have got off to a slow start, but if you're good enough, you will definitely get there.
And talking of setbacks, another American who's made the journey over there, well, he's actually played in a few of the Australian events in the build-up to this, is Smiley Kaufman, who is a name who, you know, it's a name that jumps off a leaderboard just because of the kind of the uniqueness of the name. But a couple of years ago...
He was one of the spring break boys.
Flying high, yeah. He's best friends with Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, won the Shriners in 2015, which Cameron Champ also won. He then was he was in the final group in the 2016 Masters. I think he shot the best round on moving day, shot 69 that day in tricky conditions. And he's just completely fallen off the face of the earth. He's just been missing cuts left, right, and centre globally. Lost his PGA Tour card, but he's fighting back. He's one of those. He's a really interesting story to follow. And he recently played in a mini tour event and shot his first bogey free round for 2 years. So he's edging his way back, and he's using this kind of Australian swing to try and find some form. So it'll be interesting to kind of follow his progress this week.
It sounds like he's one of your picks.
He's not, but I think
he's...
No, he's not.
Huge build-up.
It'd be big to back someone who's been missing cuts every week for the last 2 years.
It would.
Great name, isn't it?
Smiley Kaufman.
Smiley Kaufman.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually.
You were going to say something then, weren't you?
Well, what I'm going to say is just tell everybody how the predictions work.
Oh, go on.
And what we do on the show is you get two picks each. One's got to be from outside last year's top 50 in the Race to Dubai, and one any other that you want to choose from the world of golf that's playing in the field. So I'm going to throw it to you, Jack, first, who your number one pick is for this week in the Australian PGA Championship.
My top tip for the Australian PGA is Ryan Fox, who's obviously one of the bigger names in the field. Yeah. Landed his first European Tour win last year in Oz. So he's got some, winning record, or he has a winning record to look back on in Australia. So, yeah, he's my man.
J-Mo?
Well, mate, I'm going to go for Cameron Smith, going for the three-peat. I just think you can't leave him out, can you?
No, you can't.
Adam Scott, I'm still not sure about the long putter, I've got to be honest with you, as great a player as he is. But no, Cameron Smith for me.
I'm torn.
Are you?
I'm torn between Cameron, I'm going all the way down to Australia to sort of kickstart my year champ, or Adam, I've just played a President's Cup, narrowly got beaten, and want retribution at the Australian PGA Championship.
You can't have them both.
I can't have them both.
Well, go on.
I'm going to go for Adam Scott.
Okay.
Probably not a huge surprise. The next one's going to be interesting, though. So, your second pick, Jack Haywood.
I'm going to go for Minwoo Lee, who burst onto the European Tour earlier this season. He had a couple of invites, I think Abu Dhabi and that kind of the desert swing. He had a few starts. And he really impressed, actually, early on. He finished top five in Saudi. I think he finished top five the following week as well. So, he's my tip. He's an interesting story as well because his sister is one of the best players on the LPGA Tour, Minji Lee. So he's got a bit of a story there, and I think he's incredibly highly thought of in Australian golfing circles. So, yeah, Minwoo's my man this week.
Minwoo for him, and who for you?
I'm going to go for Callum Hill.
I think that's a shrewd pick.
The young Scot.
The only thing against Callum playing well down there is the heat. Yeah, when those Scots get out in the heat, they go red and then back to white. It's not going to be easy for him.
I hope he's got some Under Armour on him.
So, anyway, Callum Hill, I think, is a player going places, got his card off the Challenge Tour, played well the other week as well.
And I'm going to go with a player who I saw play very recently, and he looked good to me, Johannes Veerman. So, you know, players that get their card on Challenge Tour.
Is this the new Thomas Peters for you?
Thomas Peters is a world number one in waiting. If he could sort out...
You keep saying that.
If he could sort out the bit between his ears...
Yeah, that's not so easy, is it?
It isn't easy, I know it's not. He's a phenomenal player, phenomenal golfer, and on his day he can be anybody, but that's the bit he's got to get.
He tips him every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
Well, you're right, he's a super talented golfer, isn't he?
Oh, he's incredible.
I mean, we were speaking about frustrating sportsmen off air before this, talking about our football teams, but yeah. He's a very frustrating golfer to watch.
You look at him, you think he has got the whole package.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and it may happen for him, you know, stop, start. I think if he gets on a run, he could start to be, you know, pretty dominant, but we'll see. Like I said, it will not pass you by. If you're good enough, you'll get there. And I can't see Thomas Peters not getting into the world's top 10 and having a tilt at it. We'll see. So it's minus 5 points if you miss a cut, Jamie. That's how it works.
I've played before.
I know, but I'm just telling our new viewers, because we get new viewers.
Or listeners. Even listeners. Or listeners.
Well, viewers in the new format, when it's the video podcast and you'll have to shave, it'll be viewers. So it's 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for an MC, which sometimes are the most important ones. You don't want that minus 5 coming off the total. Can hurt.
Yes.
It can really hurt.
Well, of course, you've got the added advantage that Dan Roebuck comes in and bumps up your points.
No, he sucks me down to the nether regions of the points list. That's what he does. And then I have to build it up again. Then in comes Roebuck.
Well, that's what you
and
say.
And it's another backward move. Mm. You can participate, of course, in the Fancy Race to the Buy game. For more information, head to europeantour.com. Will you be playing this year?
Yeah, I was rubbish last year. No, I had some great weeks.
Yeah,
but then it's not easy, is it?
Do you play that, Jack?
I used to, and I have to say I lapsed a bit. But I'm going to be back on it next year. That's my plan. It's my New Year's resolution.
You've got to try and make the captain count, and it's getting that.
I think the thing is, when you go to the bigger events, you got to do well in the big events.
Yes,
obviously carry more points. So if you don't do very well in those,
we have already had winners this year. And with that in mind, give us the top 10 in the Race to Dubai.
We certainly have.
Yes,
Race to Dubai number 10 from Scotland, Grant Forrest. Now, number 9 is this unknown golfer that Robert's picked out this week, Johannes Veerman. Where did you find him, Robert? Oh, that's amazing. Charles Schwartzel is 6th, along with Brandon Grace and Will Bessling. Number 5 is the young Frenchman, Antoine Rosner. Renato Paratori, the quickest player in the world. He's at 4. He is so fast.
He is fast.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Joel Scholholm.
Is he as fast as John Daly?
Faster.
Really?
Paratory, yeah, it's incredible. He hits it before the book, his partner's
landed,
stopped.
It's gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joel Scholholm, comeback maybe on the cards for Joel. He's in 3rd. Rasmus Højgaard.
Højgaard,
that's him. He's 2nd, the Dane, young Dane. And our number 1, Pablo Larrazabal, who benefited from Joel's layup.
He did. Let's just react to the President's Cup win? Tiger picked himself as a pick and made himself the playing captain. How do you think it went for him, Jamie?
Went very well.
Yes, I think so.
I mean, through the middle of the night, I watched bits of it. Listen, it's hard for the internationals, isn't it? I mean, European, we sort of got a bond together to play against the Americans and a reason to sort of to compete. It's almost like the big
brother. And of course, a
lot of history. Yeah. But when you're pulling people together from all over the world, who play the PGA Tour, all of them, by the way, just about, it's difficult to put. I mean, I think they only did a really good job, but I mean,
they've only won once. A lot of rookies.
They've only won once, and they've. Plus, you can't get that home field advantage that America can get.
No.
Because, you know, Mexicans, Chileans, South Koreans, whatever it is, Japan, whatever they are, coming from all over the world, you don't get that home. I don't feel you get that home advantage that we would get in the European Tour, like playing at the French National,
sure,
or Glen Eagles, or the Belfry, or wherever we go and play, Valderrama. So they haven't got that in their favour, whereas the Americans have got that. So it's difficult for them to compete.
Jack, do you think the Patrick Reed factor was? I mean, they were behind, which is pretty unheard of for the Americans going into the singles. Do you think the Patrick Reed factor was real for them? Do you think he distracted and caused a bit of an issue? Because he played with Webb Simpson for three times and he got beaten three times. No, he didn't change the pairings, Tiger, and put Patrick with anyone else.
Yeah, it's interesting. His record in match play golf is really intriguing because he was fantastic on his debut in the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles in 2014. Fantastic at Hazeltine, probably America's best player in 2016 when they won back the Ryder Cup. But obviously, Le Golf National didn't go well for him at all. That was a pretty horrible week for him all round. Played some pretty rancid golf. He was playing alongside Tiger, who was a very defeated and very tired Tiger off the back of winning the Tour Championship, but. Yeah, he didn't do too well that week, and yeah, like you say, until the singles this week, he was really struggling. And I think one thing's for sure is that it made this week much more compelling, particularly from a European point of view. It's particularly hard for us to get on board with the President's Cup. We have no vested interest in either side, but to see him reacting to holding that putt and the boos from the crowd and doing the shovel motion with his club on the green and stuff.
He loves it, doesn't he? He loves that.
He's interesting. I interviewed him for the first time a few weeks ago, and actually, in trying to set up the interview, spoke to Kessler, his caddy. Come on to him in a second, because he's
coach,
also
the second caddy.
The first caddy, the one who got taken out of the President's Cup, his brother-in-law Kessler.
Oh, it was Kevin Kirk was the other guy, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there were two KKs.
Yeah, yeah. But they're both, I mean, that was really interesting for me because I didn't know what to expect with Patrick. I'd heard he was pretty good with the media, pretty savvy with the media, nice, friendly with the media. Not quite what you see out there on the golf course with all the kind of the fist pumping, the spitting, the swearing, the whatever. A bit of a contradiction. But he was a delight to talk to. He was great to talk to for 10 minutes. Have rarely come out of an interview feeling kind of almost better about myself because he was so nice to talk to and gave you really quality answers. He's not one of these identikit golfers who's pretty boring and says all the right things at the right time. And
I love someone who shows that character in a match play, and when he goes away from home, he fronts up, he faces the crowd, he takes them on. I love that part.
Stay Short.
Great tour, by the way. Great tour. Stay Short tour.
Yep. It's the old senior tour. If you're not sure what the Stay Short tour is, it's for players like Jamie, who have just turned 50.
I play three times this year. There's some really good players on that tour.
Well,
really good players.
Philip Price and Yarmo Sandlin were the two big winners in the final day of the Stay Short tour season in Mauritius on Sunday. Sandlin carded a 7-under par 65 in the final round to win the MCB Tour Championship in Mauritius. But a share of third place was good enough for Philip Price to top the Stay Short Order of Merit. He still keeps going, Phil Price, doesn't he?
Yeah, I played with him this year. I played with him in the Winston. He's improved. I'd say a lot of the players out there that I play with over the last three or four years, I play three or four events each year. Try and keep my game going, because otherwise it's difficult. You just don't play, do you? So I try and play three or four, and I get out there and see the boys. And there's some good players. And Phil's had a terrific year. He's had 12 top 10s. He's also won the Stay Short PGA Championship, which is at the London Club. Which is one of the bigger events. He was second to Paul Broadus last year, so well deserved from the mercurial Welshman. And he's improved as a player, Phil. He never used to hit the ball. I thought when he played the main tour, he never really hit the ball that great, but he putted brilliantly.
Yeah.
He got in the Ryder Cup team where he beat famously.
Tell him why he beat. Phil Mickelson.
But now he's a complete player. He's improved as a player over the years.
Yeah, it's good.
And another player out there who plays very well is Jeff Remezy.
Yeah, Jean-François.
He won two French Opens.
Back to back.
But again, he never hit the ball, I felt, on the main tour. He wasn't a great striker of the ball, but he's a much improved ball striker, and he putts brilliantly.
Yeah, he's a good.
So he's improved as a player.
Always been
well.
A good player. That's nice to see. Nice to hear. Yeah.
John Jacobs Trophy, by the way, that's what he wins. Phil Price
for number one player.
Number one player. The John Jacobs
Trophy, which is
trophy,
very nice. The
great man.
The grandfather of European Tour
golf.
Yeah,
the great man.
Yeah, he was a great man. Okay, now to a remarkable story. Irishman Ian St. John has a wife, a young family, a dream job as a PGA Tour professional, but in 2016, he woke up in hospital with a consultant telling him he had cancer and that he was paralysed. That devastating news would seemingly put a life on hold, as it would for anyone, but Ian has become an inspiration for the world of golf. And I'm delighted to say that Ian joins us via Skype right now. Ian, good to speak to you. How are you?
I'm very good, Rob. Very, very good. Nice to speak to yourself and Jamie and Jack there as well.
So just give us a little background about what happened, what you're doing right now and why people are looking up to you.
Well, I don't know about people looking up to me. I suppose I'm just getting on with life. I think there was two choices, really. You could either continue and try and create a different kind of a life, or you could just wallow. And I suppose I've never been that kind of person. But yeah, I woke up with a consultant telling me the whopper of a tumour. 2 days later, I was told then that it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But those 2 days were probably the worst 2 days of my life, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, my wife is 8 months pregnant. We have a toddler, who's Chloe. She has MS as well. So I'm kind of in a care position for her. All of a sudden, I'm paralysed. I'm self-employed. I'm a head professional at Rush Golf, a great nine-hole links course in Dublin. So the last place I need to be is in hospital. And lucky enough, you know, Sofiana was born. She was healthy. I got to spend a couple of hours with her, and I was whisked back up to Beaumont Hospital then to continue with chemotherapy, which lasted another 5 months. I was in Beaumont. And now it's how are you going to survive for the rest of your life? And not that nothing is done for you, but now you have to make an effort to try and create a life or survive. And yeah, so that's kind of what I've been doing ever since.
And how are you now, Ian?
I'm good. I mean, I had my latest scan there 2 weeks ago and still in remission, and that's going on 3 years. So
fantastic.
Good. Yeah, and I'm good. And just from the golfing element, like I didn't really want to know about golf 2016. I remember, of course, the Ryder Cup was on. I didn't want to know. It's only in about the last year where I kind of had a new love for the game as well. So with a chance meeting with Keith Pelly over in Lynch for the Irish Open. I just got talking to him, and Paul McGinley was there. He came over, got a picture with him, and Keith said, look, send me on your story and we'll see what we can do. Maybe it might be an interesting avenue for us to go down, because, you know, Keith and the disability golf are pretty much, you know, hand in hand. He's really making an effort, along with Tony Bennett, who's the president of the EDGA, with the European Disabled Golf Association, that they're looking to create a world tour in a couple of years' time for people with disabilities, which is phenomenal. If you think 10, 25 years ago, something like this was not even possible. Myself being paralysed, again, I didn't know if it was going to be possible that I could play golf, but it is. And now I'm pining to get back onto the golf course. But with that chance meeting with Keith, he put me in touch with Roddy Williams, who's the director of content at the European Tour. And Roddy put me in touch with Alistair Cordes about doing this play of the day, a kind of a twist or a turn on the actual shot of the day. So yeah, I've done that it was a pilot program for about 3 weeks there for the Race to Dubai series. So the reaction has been fantastic. It's exciting times.
Ian, that's an incredible story. You've been through so much. And when we watch the golfers in the EDGA play on the European Tour, what are your thoughts? Because they've all got their own stories, haven't they?
They do. They all do. And no one can say theirs is worse or better. I mean, it is a disability. It's their disability. It's all relative at the end of the day. Keith Pelly was very passionate to me when he was talking about a world tour, that this is one of the priorities of the European Tour, is to develop a world tour for people with disabilities. So it's exciting times, guys. I mean, there is a machine called a para-golf machine that you can actually, it's like a buggy that has a couple of buttons, allows you to kind of stand up and lean forward, and you can play the game. And I mean, that's now an avenue for me to try and look at and see if I can get one. And how did it go about then bringing it to the golf course? And it's exciting, guys, because I am going to be able to play golf again, you know.
And of course, with the handicap system in golf, mm-hmm. you can compete with able-bodied people, and you can go out and have a game of golf with a pro and compete with them. It's no other game that can do that as well, Ian, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, there's world rankings, for God's sake. You know, the world ranking system is now the same. If you go to, you know, the normal Omega world rankings for the ladies and men, there's now one for people with disabilities. Obviously, there's different classifications for the different disabilities that are out there. But yeah, you can go out and compete. You're given a handicap. So, I mean, as I said, guys, it's exciting times. And for a person who's had, I suppose, such a dreadful 3 years, what you need really for a person who has paralysis, because it's there, it's in your face morning, noon and night, and you don't really get away from it. You need a routine of a day. You need distractions constantly to, you know, stop yourself going down that difficult road to the past and the way things were and how much you'd love them.
Ian, thank you. It's an inspiring story. From all of us here on the Race to Dubai show, the best of luck and health to you and your family. Have a great Christmas and have a wonderful 2020. We'll speak to you again.
Yes, definitely, guys. Listen, pleasure from me on. Love the show. And love to chat to you again. Thanks, guys.
Take care of yourself, Ian. Thank
Cheers,
you.
Cheers, Ian.
Cheers, boys. Cheers. Thank you.
Take care. Good luck. Well, it was great to talk to Ian, and an amazing story, really. Let's hope that 2020 really is a good year for him and his family.
Well, what he's been through,
yeah.
I just can't comprehend it, can you?
So difficult, yeah.
I mean, his positivity just shines through there, yeah. His love of golf as well.
Fantastic.
So, inspirational.
Absolutely fantastic. Okay, it's quiz time.
Oh, no.
I see you both
I like
worried.
A quiz.
I know you like a quiz.
I'd love
you
a
do
quiz.
Like a quiz. You're into quizzes?
Yeah,
are you a traditional
yeah.
quiz person?
I love a quiz.
But you know what? When I'm at a quiz night or something and there's a golf question, I'm not happy because... It's just
the pressure.
Well, the pressure, too much pressure.
That's right.
And my golf knowledge, actually.
And then both your hands
they
go
say
between
who
your
won
legs.
The open
there's a light that comes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, they say, who won the
Google.
Open in 2004? You go, no idea.
No idea.
No idea.
No idea.
Go on, then.
So, it's been a funny and inspiring year, packed with
Hilarious.
Great quotes.
Hilarious, Robert.
Packed with great quotes from players. And all you have to do is tell me who said the words I'm going to say to you. That's all you have to
is
do.
Is it the first person that says it?
It's a buzzer.
A buzzer, okay.
You've got a buzz.
Right.
And I'll go to the buzzer, and of
okay.
course you
all
defer
right.
then. If you're wrong, you defer.
Okay.
The second person has all the time in the world to answer the question.
Yeah, but he's social media, Twitter,
oh, I
Instagram,
don't know.
I'm backing Jack
that.
Here. I just want to put my cards on the table. I'm backing Jack.
If it, yeah.
The younger, fresher mind, who yeah. seemed to be, you know, at Statfest with his two picks.
Yeah, I agree.
So I agree. And yeah. I'm all over Jack on this one. So
on, then.
I shot 49 once at Pebble Beach on PlayStation.
Buzz. Gary Woodland.
That's a very good, that's a brilliant guess, but it's wrong. But a brilliant guess.
Come on, youngster.
I know.
God, come on, youngster.
I thought this would be
Rubbish Street.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Things you kept and things you chucked out, you know. I shot 49 once at Pebble Beach on PlayStation.
I'm going to follow a...
Hold on.
It's got to be young generation, isn't it? Brooks?
He hasn't buzzed.
Buzz.
He buzzed.
Brooks. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it Mr. Koepka?
It wasn't.
Okay.
So no points given out. It was.
Tell me you knew this.
I didn't know this.
No, who is it then?
Marcus Shinault.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah. So I thought when he would get that.
I thought this was going to be a friendly quiz.
He might have been teeing up in his first major championship on American soil in the US Open earlier this year, but Sweden's Shinault has a secret advantage over many of his experienced competitors because he's played that course millions of times and he's had a personal best of 49.
Not a bad knock.
How bad's the software if you can go around in 49?
Is it par 71? Is it
he
Pebble?
He might not be shooting 14. He might find it a little bit more difficult.
I have a feeling that question two, yes. you will fare better.
Okay.
Okay. Get ready on your buzzers.
Buzz. No.
That's a lovely flight. Just a shame it's 25 yards left.
Buzz. Hatton.
Correct.
Yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton.
1-0.
Knew it.
During the British Masters, Hatton went viral after his relatable reaction to missing the green. Quite a mild one for Tyrrell, that.
Very, yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
But I do remember it.
He also had the amusing moment, didn't he, with his fiancée coming out of the toilet at the top of his backswing.
That's right.
Coming out of the porter cabin and, disrupting his golf swing.
That's right.
I'm sure she loved that being pointed out.
I wouldn't have thought she was thrilled with that. And there may have been a little bit of cold shoulder of lamb once they got in, perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah. Question three. My biggest mistake in golf was not giving myself credit for the success I had. I treated success and defeat almost the same, which is very Rudyard Kipling-ish.
Buzz.
Ooh.
Tiger.
No.
It sounded like it was past tense, so it sounds like it must be someone of the kind of more senior generation. So,
see, Jack's always not. He's trying to double guess the question.
I'm going to buzz in and go for Ernie Els.
Martin Kaymer.
Okay.
Prior to the US Open, Major Champion Kama spoke to the European Tour website about his career to date and his major approach to golf.
I remember reading that now.
I thought you might get that.
Mm. He's a thinker as well.
Yeah, she spoke.
Triumph and disaster meet those two imposters just the same. That's Kipling, isn't it?
Rudyard Kipling, correct.
And that's but he said, I treated success and defeat almost the same, which Kipling would suggest that's good.
He never gave himself a break.
Spoke about reaching world number one, didn't he, in quite dark terms and like being very unfulfilling because he didn't kind of feel like he was ready and deserving to be there at
how
that
time. How many of these are there?
Well, let's just see how we go. Okay. Are you in a rush?
No.
And our producers stopped waving frantically through the glass, so he must be enjoying these.
He's loving
these. Well, they're his questions, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's very smug.
Question four. We have a... You won up.
I know. I realise that.
One nil could win this. Yeah. It could be one all. Here we go. I had to stop myself from crying about four times on the back nine just because of the level of support.
Buzz. I think Shane Lowry.
Incorrect answer.
It's got to be European Tour centric.
Now he's getting more time to think.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens if you... Well, you take
it should
your
be a time limit.
Once I've answered, it should be 10 seconds. Once you buzz, then
you're
wrong.
It should be 10 seconds.
The other guy gets all the time he wants.
Level of support. Buzz, Tommy Fleetwood.
Massive mistake. That was a huge chance for Hayward there. Huge chance. He said Shane Lowry. Got the right tournament. If you remember, it was Rory McIlroy coming down the stretch, trying to make the cut. Yeah. The crowd were willing him on. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah.
Come on, you got a quote from the guy who missed the cut, and you haven't got a quote from the guy who picked up the claret jug.
Hey,
pathetic.
I'm only here to read out the question.
Pathetic.
You're 1-0 up, Spence.
Okay, I'm winning.
Get ready on the buzzer.
Right, I'm ready.
Question five. I think I made a few new fans with those double bogeys.
Oh, who's been making double bogeys?
No one's buzzed yet. Oh!
Rahm.
Incorrect. Hayward, all the time in the world.
Buzz, I'm going to go for...
This is gettable.
Well, it's gettable because you know the answer. You're looking at it. That's why it's gettable.
No, it actually is, though.
I'm trying to think of someone who reversed.
Because when I say it, you'll go, I should have got that.
I'm going to go for George Kutsia in relation to the Open de France and letting Kolsarts in with the doubles down the stretch.
See, that's an answer Jamie would never, ever have come out with, ever. Because you would think Kurtzier is not going to be the one, and he's not.
No,
okay.
Who?
You'll both kick yourselves. Francesco Molinari.
Augusta.
See?
Augusta, yeah.
That was gettable.
It was very.
Still 1-0.
So what's he saying?
A very high standard.
People loving him more because he's making doubles.
Well, because he let Tiger open the door for Tiger, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Question six. My wife or my
How many questions are there?
There's just three more.
Okay.
Were you sort of running out of puff or you're okay?
No, go on.
I want to check your mental
well-being.
We've got
one right.
How's the 6 inches between your ears, all right?
Fantastic.
Excellent, okay. Question six. My wife or my three wood? That's a very easy question.
Oh, Henrik Stenson.
I was going to say Stenson.
But he buzzed before I even finished, so you're in.
Finally getting in on this on
the
buzzer
action. Winner chicken dinner, 1-0. 1-0. But of course, you buzz early, you do take a chance, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
The other chap gets a chance to ponder and come up with absolutely nothing. So it's interesting. Question seven. There are two left and it's 1-1. How could this be more exciting? I'm very proud to set my family up for life.
Buzz, Tommy Fleetwood.
That was so easy.
On it.
2-1, late charge. When Tommy won the $2.5 million in the Nedbank, that's what he says.
Did he?
He said it's not about the money. And then he said, actually, I've set my family up for life, so kind of is. 2-1. This is it.
Yeah. So how many left?
One question left.
Okay.
I mean, you started trying to hope there were no questions left. Now you're wishing there were more left. There's only one left. You're one down, Spence.
Come on.
Question eight and the last question. To think I'm putting my name there before they do, it's hard to believe.
Think I'm putting my name there before
Buzz.
Ooh, he's gone for it.
Rasmus Højgaard.
No, wrong answer. Ooh. Spence with chance to think.
Come on.
He's been given a little bit of an olive branch.
Rob,
to think
clue.
I'm
give
putting my name there before they do, before it's hard to believe.
I'm trying to think naturally here, and I can't think what that quote would refer to.
I know, it's something that meant a lot to a person.
That's why I went for Højgaard. I thought maybe getting his name in there ahead of some of the other greats of the game.
Say it again. Can you say it again?
To think I'm putting my name there before they do, it's hard to believe.
Listen, I can't think of anything else but the Open champion, Shane Lowry.
You went for him twice?
I know.
You've been unsuccessful twice.
Good.
We have a winner, Jack Hayward.
Late surge.
The answer to that is John Rahm, after he was told that Seve was the only Spaniard to have won the Order of Merit. And he'd beaten every other Spaniard.
Pathetic.
So you're telling us on the Race to Dubai show we failed to get the Race to Dubai winner's quote.
Why am I not surprised from the reaction from Spence?
Pathetic
quiz. Had you held out and won 1-0, you said, that's a marvellous quiz, that.
You know, if we had some geographical, historical or something, you know, actually.
Henry VIII or
something like that.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Who said what?
We've got to thank the European Tour website, by the way, for those quotes. We did nick them from the web team.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
This wasn't...
Listen, fellas, thank you very much for the quotes. And there'll be another quiz in 12 months' time. Probably not as dramatic as that one, I would say. The late steal from Jack Hayward. Very, very impressive. That's it for now. Remember, you can stay up to date with the latest news via europeantour.com and the official European Tour app, as well as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Next week, we'll have a full review of the Australian PGA Championship from the Gold Coast, plus lots more lovely golf chat. But for now, from Jamie Spence...
Goodbye, everybody. Happy Christmas, everybody.
I think a season's greetings is
season's
very appropriate.
Season's greetings, everybody.
Yes. And Jack Hayward.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And Jack, you are the champion 2-1 winner in the end of season golf quiz.
I'll let him win.
See you in 12 months.
Well done, Jamie. And from me, Robert Lee. We'll see you soon.